The first reading today, St. John talks about those who are born of God, overcoming the world. Every Mass, we pray in the last Gospel about those who are not born of the will of man or of the flesh or the desires and so on, but of God. But we have to ask ourselves as we look a little bit further, can I really say that of myself? Objectively, it is certainly true. You're baptized. You are born of God. That is not something that anyone on the human level is capable of doing. But now we have to go a little further, because St. John says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So that's the question that we all have to look at. That question of the faith. Because we live in a society where faith has been cheapened down to almost nothing. We have huge groups of people who want to say that as long as they believe that Jesus is Lord, they're going straight to heaven. The Council of Trent said infallibly, that fiducial faith, that is, the idea that Jesus died for my sins, therefore I'm going straight to heaven, or I'm automatically saved because I believe that, infallibly the Church says that is not sufficient to be saved. It is necessary to believe that Jesus died for our sins, but that's not enough. Church also teaches that we have to believe everything that God has revealed and the Church teaches. And then says, and that's not enough. We're not going to be saved just because we give intellectual assent to all of these different things that have been revealed. It is a necessity to do so, but it's not enough. People get frustrated when they hear things like that. So I always say to them, look, if you have a car that runs on gasoline, because now we have these other ones that are electric, but if you have a car that runs on gasoline, spark plugs are essential. You have to have them. Your car isn't going to work without them. But if you open up the hood and throw in a half a dozen spark plugs, nothing's going to happen. You have to have the rest of the engine too, and it all has to work, but you do need to have spark plugs. It is required, but it's not enough. And that's the same point with regard to faith. We must believe that Jesus is Lord and God. We must believe that He has died for our sins. But that's not enough. After all, Satan will be the first to acknowledge that Jesus is God. He has been Lord and God for 2,000 years, and from all eternity He is God as the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. Even the fallen angels have to acknowledge that. So while it is essential to believe, that's not enough. So we have to look at this then a little bit more deeply. We look, for instance, in the Gospel. We hear about St. Thomas and the struggles that he was having with regard to the resurrection. How is this possible? And unless I put my finger into the nail holes in his hand and put my hand into the hole in his side, I'm not going to believe. So Jesus shows him and says, doubt no longer, but believe. But it's not about believing whether or not Jesus rose from the dead. It is what St. Thomas says next. My Lord and my God. It's So now we begin to see where there's a difference. Jesus is Lord and God. Jesus died for every single person so that the sins of every single person on the face of the earth could be forgiven. But that doesn't mean that every single person on the face of the earth is going to accept it. So we begin to see is that there is an objective faith and there is a subjective faith. Satan can say Jesus is God. It's an objective point of truth. And he can't deny it. And in fact, St. Paul goes so far as to say, every knee in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will all bow at the name of Jesus. And every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue, those in hell as well as those in heaven. So once again, you recognize it is essential to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and God, but if the souls that are condemned are going to be saying it, then we recognize that's not enough. Essential, yes. Sufficient, no. So we have to again look a little deeper. It is true that Jesus is Lord and God. St. Thomas didn't say that. St. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Not just you are Lord and God. He is. He's the King of the universe. He is the creator of all. He is the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. He is God. Period. There is no discussion. That doesn't mean that we believe that he is my God. That's where the rub comes. So if we're going to say that he is Lord of my life, not just again the objective statement, Jesus Christ is Lord. No one can say that, St. Paul said, except in the Holy Spirit. So we can all acknowledge that and praise God, and we can say, yep, the Holy Spirit is at work in my life if I can say that. But again, the objective acknowledgement of that is not enough. Even our Lord himself said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. They're acknowledging that he is Lord, but they're not living it. They're not allowing him to be the Lord of their life. So that's the question each one of us has to really look at seriously. Is he the Lord of my life? And what exactly does that mean? For a lot of people, we think that what that implies is that as long as I believe he's God, I'm just going to tell him everything that I want and he needs to provide it for me because I want it. Give me, give me, give me, give me. That's exactly what we see, for instance, when Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes. And they were all wowed at this because 5,000 people are fed with a half a dozen little fish. And wouldn't this be cool if he was our king? Because we wouldn't have to work anymore. He'll just take care of everything for me. It's all about me, in other words. It's what I can get from him. He is offering you everything, including the salvation of your soul, which is what is most important. We don't have to worry about what we're going to get from him. If he is Lord of my life, if he is my God, then what am I doing toward him? Am I loving him? Am I serving him? That's what it has to come down to. Yes, we need to believe all these objective truths, but we have to get them from our heads into our hearts. He needs to be the Lord of my life. To be Lord means to be the master. To be the Lord means that I am going to do what he tells me to do. Now, again, ask yourself, is Jesus truly the Lord of my life? Every part of my life? What is it that I'm holding back? What am I hanging on to? What do I refuse to give to him? Where am I doing my will rather than his will? Am I truly loving him? Because again, we can look at it from the American idea of slavery, and you can say, okay, if somebody's master of these slaves, do the slaves love the person? Hardly. They have to be obedient. They have to do what they're being demanded to do. They don't love the master. They're terrified of him. Jesus doesn't want us to be terrified of him. He wants us to love him. And not just a little bit, because he said to love us, to love him with our whole heart and soul and strength. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for us to be able to act upon what it is that we believe. If we're going to say that he is Lord and God, we have to live it. Again, objectively, it's all true. As I said earlier, Satan has to admit it too. Satan's not living it. He's living just the opposite. And let's admit it, that's the American way. Oh, we give lots of lip service to God in America, but we're following Satan, not God. We're singing with Frank Sinatra, "I did it my way, not God's way." Oh, sure, I acknowledge that he is God, but it's about me. If he is Lord and God, it's about him. My life has to be for him. He gave his life for me. I have to give my life for him. I have to allow him to be the Lord of my life. I have to live my life for him, with him, in him. Are we willing to do that? That is the great challenge. That, however, is the victory that overcomes the world. That's what we're being asked to look at. So as we acknowledge, and I hope every time that you're at Mass and we have the elevation of the Most Holy Eucharist, that with St. Thomas, you can look right at Jesus, truly present in the Eucharist, and say, "My Lord and my God." And it is true. But now we have to take that a step further and say, am I allowing him to be my Lord and my God? Not just objective truth, subjective reality as well. To conform our lives subjectively to the objective truth. He's Lord and God whether anybody wants to believe it or not. He's King of the universe whether anybody wants to believe it or not. God is a Trinity whether anyone wants to believe it or not. It is objective truth and it cannot change. So the difference isn't in him. The difference has to be in us and how it is that we're going to live this. If we are going to acknowledge who he is, and we must, and we must put it into practice. We have to strive with all our heart to serve Him, to love Him, to conform ourselves to His will. And always remember, His will is perfect. And His will is only what is the very best. So to conform ourselves to His will is not a violation of our dignity. It's the fulfillment of it, because He only wants the very best for us. The problem is we don't always want the very best for us. We prove it every time that we sin. I want whatever it is. God's saying, no, don't do that. And I'm saying, that's what I want, and I'm going to do it. Clearly, I don't want the best for myself if I'm going to sin. God wants only the best. So if we can conform ourselves to Him, then we've overcome the world. The world is pulling us towards sin. The world is pulling us away from God, and it is our faith that allows us to pull toward God. And we're in the middle of that tug of war. But you're not just a rope in the tug of war. You're a person who has a free will. So we have to, each one of us, make a choice. Not only the choice to believe the objective truths, but the choice to live those objective truths subjectively, to change our lives to conform to what it is that we believe and to who it is that we believe in. So that's the great challenge now. As we look at the events of the last week and a half that we've celebrated, the Passion, the death, and the resurrection of our Blessed Lord, those things need to change our lives. They're not just objective things that happened 2,000 years ago. They have to be brought subjectively into each one of our lives and lived. So pray about that. Bring that to God. And with the humility, that man whom Jesus challenged, who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I have faith, but help my lack of faith. I love you, but help me to love you more. Those are the kinds of prayers that we have to be praying, because right now we're being pulled by the world. We're not necessarily overcoming it. If we want to overcome the world, if we want to overcome Satan, if we want to overcome our own self and our own weakness, it is by uniting ourselves with the Lord and allowing Him to be the Lord of our lives. And so we are not doubting the death and resurrection of Jesus. We are not doubting that He is God. That's not our issue. Our issue right now is being able to live what it is that we profess. Our issue is to be able to get down on our knees and with St. Thomas to be able to look honestly at Jesus and say, my Lord and my God.